those that are affected in Central Texas with the flooding that is going on. There's a lot of families that are hurting, the people that are confused and that are struggling, and we are going to do the best thing that we can do. Sometimes we say all we can do is pray. Prayer is one of the best things that we can do. That we as believers can bind together and pray that comfort and that strength and that peace and that God's ministering spirit will go to everybody that is affected, for those that are experiencing loss, those that are experiencing hurt. And I believe that there is going to be a ministry of the Holy Ghost that is going to go from our prayers into every single family that is affected. Amen. And so right now, as a church body, let us begin to lift up those names in prayer. Father, I know that you are in control of every single thing. God, I know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. God, I know that nothing catches you off guard. God, I know that you are all powerful, that you have everything in the palm of your hand. And so, God, I lift up every single family right now. I lift up every single person involved right now, that there is a ministry of your spirit, that there is a power that flows as the Holy Ghost begins to do what it does as a comforter, as a healing, as a deliverer. God, I pray right now that you touch every need, every heart, every mind. And God, I pray that you equip us to be able to help those around us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. We have some names within this congregation. We have a prayer list that we have Eric Dozier, Brother Sister Charles Fleming, Dee Dee Fleming, Brother Sister Griffith, Kenny Hamm, Michael Malone, Georgia McCool, and Kimberly Short. And we are going to pray for those needs right now. We're going to bind together again and begin to lift up our hands right now and begin to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to touch heaven right now. As heaven falls down, as glory begins to rain down and begins to minister on every single need. God, I believe in your healing. God, I believe in your power. God, I believe that you are able to do exactly what is needed in our lives today as we surrender to you, surrender to your will today. Touch every need, heal every heart, every body, minister to every mind, bring peace where there is needing. And God, you know our needs. And God, I trust in you today. Move on us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord is my shepherd.
With the
have some quick announcements we're going to make the church aware of. You can return to your seat for a moment, but don't get comfortable. There's a sweet presence of the Lord in this house this morning, and we're going to continue to worship and to push forward in that in Jesus' name. We have, in the foyer, we have a bassinet that is for you to place your gifts for Heath and Lexi Swaim's baby girl. That we are so excited that the church is growing. Families are growing. We are excited. And so bring all of your gifts, whatever you can think of. If you don't know what gift, money. And just throw it in there, and they'll be happy to see it. And we have also VBS is going on. Vacation Bible School is happening. Who was there and got to see last week, who got to enjoy? Amen. If you didn't get to see it this week. We have it every Wednesday of the month of July. And so be a part. It is going to be incredible. And so we're going to see lives change, not just children's lives change. I believe if you get involved, God will bless you because of, and God is going to bless this church and this community because of Vacation Bible School in Jesus' name. Tonight, we have a lake property gathering at 6 p.m. Make sure that you bring lawn chairs. There's going to be pulled pork sandwiches that will be provided. Bring to his name. Felt the spirit move on that one. Come on, somebody. Pulled pork. Man, I need to hold on to that for a message now. Okay. All right. And so then we have a bring drinks and other food items just for your family for what you would like to have. And then there is a map for directions to the lake property in the foyer. Make sure that you plan to go. A sign-up sheet is in the foyer so we can kind of have a count. So sign up in the foyer, plan to go, plan to be there, celebrate with the church body. It's going to be a great time. Amen? Amen. On the 12th, we have men's breakfast. Sign up in the foyer for that as well. On the 20th is going to be our fresh fire service, not the 13th. It will be on the 20th. And then we will have on July the 18th will be our summer movie night at 6 p.m. It's $5 per person. And so get your ticket from the Outreach Alliance. It's going to be in the foyer. So make sure you grab your movie ticket for that, that it will be as well. And we have on July 27th, our mission pledge is due. And then on the 28th, our Ladies United Fellowship at 6 p.m. at Just Love Coffee with Sister Dot Lipscomb will be ministering. We are so excited. There is something to get involved in at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. You belong here. We are glad that you are here. And there is something for you to do, something for you to plug into, and something for us to move forward in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, if we could all stand, we're going to move back into worship. Father, thank you for our presence that we feel in this place today. Thank you for what you are doing. But God, I pray that we just continue to lift up your praises today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Step out of the shadows. Step out of the grave. Break into the wild and don't be afraid. Run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, graces waiting.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be freedom. Waiting. There is freedom. There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom. Let there be
going to come. We're going to take our tithe and our offering, and so we'll return to our seats for a brief moment, and then we have one more song. So if you were on the edge, you almost got out, if you almost got with it, if you almost gave God all of your praise, you've got one more shot of a song, to begin to lift up praises, and the word is going to come forth and it's going to minister. But I don't want to wait until halfway through the message to try to get my spirit right and try to receive something. But whenever I begin to worship and I begin to praise, even when I don't feel like it or I may feel tired, when I begin to worship anyway and sacrifice anyway, God begins to break up the hardened ground on the top of your heart and begins to say, I can plant something right there. I can give you some peace that you were looking for. And so what we do in the worship service is it's not for us, but it's to worship God, and then God begins to move down into us. Amen. In Jesus' name, I believe that there's going to be some breakthroughs in this last song, in this message today, and in your lives. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that you bless what is given today. You bless the giver. Anoint the word as it's given. Anoint our man of God as he delivers it. But God, I pray that you allow us to receive it and to act on it today and produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Something about the way it's not nothing, nothing I can explain. There's just something about the way Jesus, oh Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, how worthy, now lift our hands together and worship the Lord. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that's in this room today, God. God, we give you all praise. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. We give you all thanks today for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your mercy today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus. It's the only saving name. It's the only delivering name. Amen. It's the only name whereby Peter said we must be saved. Amen. Everything is wrapped up in the name Jesus. Bill Gaither wrote the song years ago. There's just something about that name. I can't explain it. I don't know what it is about it. But you can say my name and it won't get you very far. But when you speak the name of Jesus, mountains move. Cancer can be healed. Wow, what a name. Amen. Thank you, praise team. What a great crowd for a 4th of July. And give yourself a hand for being in service today. Amen. God bless you today. Amen. If you're a guest at UPC of Paris, we thank you for making us a part of your day. And our prayer as always is that God blesses you and that you leave changed by the power of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says in the Old Testament that if you walked in the south gate, you had to leave by way of the north gate. If you walked in the east gate, you had to leave by the west gate, meaning you couldn't leave the same way you came. And we believe here at the UPC of Paris, it's the will of God for you all to leave a different way than you came in the house today. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Happy 4th of July weekend to you. Hope you had a great weekend so far. And to echo what Brother Stephen has already said, if you're able, I know everyone may not be able to come tonight, but if you're able to come out to the lake property for a couple of hours and grab a sandwich, it'll be a great time of fellowship tonight. Looking forward to that. A few fireworks at dark, and looking forward to a great time with the body of Christ. Amen. Nothing like fellowshipping with people of precious like faith. Amen. And I decided here a couple of months ago that we would take the month of July and dedicate each Sunday to a topic dealing with freedom. Brother Stephen will deal with a freedom topic here in a few weeks. Brother Proctor preaching for us here in a couple of weeks. And each of these Sundays will be geared towards freedom. And it's the will of God for everyone in the house to always to experience freedom in Christ. Amen? Amen. If you've experienced the gospel, it is the will of God for you to experience a life full of freedom. And not just full of it, but to live in it, to walk in it on a daily basis. Amen? And today our topic is freedom from sin's power. Freedom from sin's power. We're reading today from the Apostle Paul's writings of Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. I've preached verse 1 all my life, and I've preached verse 2, but I want to really hone in on some things today. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 2. Paul said that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I don't have time to do a complete breakdown on this verse, but a lot of what I'm going to preach today is tied to this, though. When you understand that freedom is attached to you living outside of the confines of carnality, flesh, when you walk after the Spirit, when you pursue the Spirit, that's where freedom from condemnation comes. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's made me free from the law of sin and death. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you can be free. I'm going to make an attempt at the end of the message to make a call for if you've never experienced Christ and the power of His Spirit. I'll make that attempt today, but you'd be surprised at apostolic Pentecostal believers who sit on pews Sunday after Sunday, who live in a constant state of condemnation, who live in guilt, who live in shame of their past because they can't seem to rise above things that happened in the past. I want to tell you that it is and always will be the will of God for you to rise above that old nasty spirit of condemnation and of guilt and of shame and of regret you can walk in the liberty of Christ when you leave this service today. I believe that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful congregation. I pray the Holy Ghost do what only you can do. I'm nothing without you, God. I have nothing. I can't do it without you. I need the anointing that destroys every yoke, God. Your word will go forth, you said, and it will not return void. God, it will go and do what it's supposed to do. Help me, God, to get out of the way and let people just see Jesus for a little bit today. In the name of Jesus. I feel a sweet presence here. Will you just lift your hands? Jesus, I just love you. They sung about that beautiful Jesus. He's been so good to me. Thank you, God, for your presence we feel in this room today. Help us, Lord, to tap into the vein of the Spirit for the next 25, 30 minutes, God, and hear your voice today, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for standing for the reading of his word. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Freedom from sin's power. What is freedom? It is a word that it's talked about a lot in political circles. It's discussed a lot even among us in religious circles. The amazing thing about freedom is that it can mean completely different things to different people. And to prove this to you, I sent a message out to different random people in our church, and I asked this question of them: what does freedom mean to you? I informed them that there was no right answer, there was no wrong answer, because freedom takes shape based off of our life experiences. And so these are the responses I received back. And I'll read these today from different ones in our church who sent me back what freedom means to them. One said, freedom means remembering that many gave their lives for our country's freedom, and one gave his life for our eternal freedom. Another said, freedom is being able to make our own choices. Another said, freedom is the ability to choose. Another said, freedom means you can lift your hands up at any location in town and worship and praise God. Another said, freedom is having a fresh start. Goodbye, yesterday. Another said, freedom to me means no longer being bound by your suppressor. Another, freedom is to no longer be bound by what constrains me. Another said, freedom to me means God gives me the freedom to speak to mine enemies, not by myself, but with his power and authority. And another person said, freedom means freedom from sin, and the ultimate freedom is the life that takes their last breath and arrives in paradise. As you can see by this short list I just read, freedom carries a different meaning for everyone. At its core, freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrances. Freedom is a beautiful thing. As we just alluded to, freedom comes in many different forms. Here are a few different ways we have no doubt all heard this word freedom used in our lifetimes. We have heard it used in the context of freedom of speech. What I'm doing today is freedom of speech. What some of you post on Facebook and Instagram, you probably shouldn't have freedom of speech, but you do because you live in the good U.S. of A. and it's freedom of speech. You've heard of freedom from tyranny. You have religious freedom. You have creative freedom to be who God uniquely created you to be. There is what Brother Dave Ramsey preaches about, financial freedom. We have freedom of the press. We have freedom from discrimination. And the list goes on and on and on. Freedom is awesome, it's wonderful, and it's glorious. But one thing we know, if you study
History is a famous phrase you've probably heard most of your life if you were born after 1980, and that is, freedom is not, it's not free. That phrase, freedom is not free, is used to communicate that maintaining freedom, it requires ongoing effort, it requires sacrifice and vigilance rather than being in an idle, complacent state of mind. This particular phrase, freedom is not free, is widely attributed to the United States Air Force Colonel Walter Hitchcock, a retired instructor at the New Mexico Military Institute in the 1980s. Sources credit him with originating that phrase, and his intent was to honor military sacrifices required to preserve our liberty. The phrase, freedom is not free, it gained prominence, and it's even engraved on the Korean War Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. It became particularly popular in the United States following the 9/11 attacks as a rallying slogan to honor military service. Yet the idea that freedom is not free, it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It was, and I don't want to bore you with a history lesson, but give me about 5 minutes if you would. It was in 431 B.C. that the famed Athenian historian, he presented in his history of one of the Peloponnesian War in the text of a funeral that had took place for the dead, soldiers who had been killed in war. And in it, he emphasizes that the soldiers who died, I quote, joyfully determined to accept the risk of death, and that to be happy means to be free, and to be free means to be brave. Fast forward 4,000 plus years to a guy we've all heard of, Benjamin Franklin, and in 1759, the idea that freedom is not free was still being echoed. He famously argued, those who give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And then there was the famed president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, who asserted that leaders must be ready to sacrifice all for the freedom of their people. He also made the statement in a 1953 address that there is no easy walk to freedom anywhere, and many of us will have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death again and again before we reach the mountaintops of our desires. So again, I say to you sweet people that freedom is not free. That leads us today into what I believe the Lord would have us say to you, sweet people, and that is, men and women in the natural for thousands of years have fought to keep and to maintain their freedom. You don't really know what freedom is and feels like until you haven't had it and you finally taste it. You just ask those who have experienced the dungeons of imprisonment, to those who have walked the roads of slavery, and they will tell you that freedom is worth it at any cost. I stand today before a people that, while I understand you've never walked the literal roads of slavery, in the natural, you are at one time prisoners to the grip of sin. Sin had enslaved you. Sin had placed you in a deep, dark dungeon of addiction, of a promiscuous lifestyle of lying and theft and hate and anger and rebellion. You lived every day unbeknownst to you, ensnared by the devourer who the scripture says only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He had a ring, if you will, in your nose, and wherever he led you, you followed because you had nothing in you to fight with. The only way you knew or thought you could fight the problem was by drowning yourself in more alcohol and more drugs and more pills and more hate and more rage. And like a prisoner, you marched to the drum of your enemy. You bowed at the altar that sin placed before you day after day. And after a while, you found yourself in a good old tailspin where sin began to enslave you, because when it started, it oftentimes seems good, like a good time with friends, but those good times eventually led to horrible times of confusion and darkness and low places and the feeling of dread and misery, and even to a place of not wanting to wake up the next morning. And you begin to wonder to yourself, is there a way out of this dungeon? I thought I was free because I was able to make my own choices and do my own thing. I thought I was free because I got to decide my own lifestyle, but that was until I realized I depended on my lifestyle to bring any sort of happiness. That was until I realized that my habit had now become my prison. I realized the only time I halfway smiled was when the weekend finally came and I got to indulge in my habit, only to be thrown into a prison of embarrassment the next morning, not knowing what I had done or who I had hurt the night before. It was then that you began searching for a way out of what you had once called freedom, because now you realize that this was nothing but a large prison that had been reduced to a prison cell that had now begun closing in on you and squeezing the life out of your very being. It was then, at that moment of desperation, that you, no doubt, people in this church made the statement, is there all there is to life? Is this all there is to life? There's got to be more. And in your confusion and in your desperation, I've heard lots of people have made the proclamation, God, if you're really real, I really need some help. And it was then, either by invitation or by your searching, that you made your way to an apostolic Pentecostal church. And you no doubt were freaked out the first time you saw people lifting their hands and people taking laps like it was the NASCAR race. And you were freaked out at people yelling out in a service and clapping their hands. And you no doubt left your first Pentecostal service thinking, I'll never attend that crazy place again, only to feel something within you drawing you back to the next service. And it was in that next service that you heard a preacher say, if you feel like you're at the end of your rope tonight, if you're tired of being in that prison of loneliness and addiction, if you're wondering why do I feel this way, I have the answer. You've been captured by that three-letter word we call sin. And sin is having its way with you. And the preacher declared from the pulpit, but I've come with good news for you. There is a way out of the darkness. There is life beyond the bondage. There is hope beyond the hopelessness. For you see, freedom has never been free, but there was one unbeknownst to you before you were ever a thought in anyone's mind. There was one who over 2,000 years ago robed himself in flesh, John would tell us, and God, the God of all eternity, he came as the suffering servant. His name is Jesus, by the way. He came to right what was messed up in the garden. He came to break the curse of sin. He came to give man and woman a chance to experience freedom from the power of sin. And he did so by becoming the sacrifice for sin. He shook uncontrollably in a garden called Gethsemane. His sweat became as if it were great drops of blood because he felt the weight of sin's power on him that night. Yet he declared, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. His body, it was battered, it was bruised, it was ripped to shreds, all for you and your sin. A cross was placed upon his back, one that he drug up Golgotha's hill. He willingly allowed himself to be nailed to an old rugged tree, and there he was suspended between heaven and earth, gasping for air in unbearable pain. And what kept him on the cross, the preacher said that night, was his ability to see the past, the present, and the future. It was his ability to see moments where ahead in time you would utter the word, words, is there more to life than this? God, if you're real, I really need you. And that, my friend, is what kept him on a cross called Calvary. That is what allowed him to hang there until he died. And for 3 days he lay, but on the third day, when he came out of the grave alive forevermore, he came out victorious over sin. The curse of sin had been broken. The power of sin had been defeated. And if I ever heard you hear me tonight, if you would hear me today, if you need freedom from sin, he would say, I have the answer. Jesus gave a man in the Bible some keys, and those were given to unlock things on earth and in heaven. And that man stood up with the key of eternal life when people just like you sat in an audience and conviction got a hold of you. And when he told them, you're responsible for killing that man, Jesus, and they asked the famous question in Acts 2:37, what must we do to get out of this feeling of guilt? What must we do to break sin's power in our lives? And Peter took the key out for the first time in history, and it's called the gospel. And Peter said, repent of your sins and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise, it's to you. It can break the curse of sin for you and your family and your kids and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words that Peter exhorts, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And I'm looking at a house full of people who responded to the call. And when you did, Brother Griffith, it felt like 10,000 pounds had lifted off of you. It was freedom like you had never known that flooded your soul. And you walked out in the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many years it's been since you had that initial moment of freedom. But I want to preach today for the next 15 minutes, and I'll shut her on down, that sin still lies at the door, waiting, the Bible says, for an opportunity to come back in the house. Paul said this in Galatians. Paul said in Galatians 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. He let us know that in order for you to live above sin on a daily basis, in order for you to have a life free from the power of sin all the time, when you experience that initial Acts 2:38 message, when God broke sin's control from over your life. But there's so many people who sit on apostolic pews who keep on falling over and over again back into that same trap of sin. And you wonder, what is it? I felt freedom. I get freedom for a few days, and it's like, man, I'm not back upside the head again. I want to preach today that there is another freedom. I haven't preached today, and it's called acquired freedom. Acquired freedom means you gain freedom little by little as you live for God. When you become a child of God, he changes your heart and mind. And as you keep living consistently for him every day, you keep getting more and more of this. It's Bible. Isaiah said, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That means that God teaches us and builds us up step by step, a little at a time. Now, I'm going to kind of just slow down for about 10 minutes, so just stay with the preacher. There's many people who are trying to get all they can at once, and that's great, but the devil can put you in a prison and make you believe you'll never get full freedom and full victory because there's too much. And God said, I need you to narrow your focus and realize it's little by little. It's day by day. It's hour by hour. It's not worrying about, oh God, how am I going to defeat this humongous sin? No, I just double dog dare you, get up in the morning and say, today's going to be a good day. I'm going to live victorious today. And if that don't work, just say, by 9 o'clock, I'll still be free. By 11, I'll still, what are you doing? I'm declaring to myself, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, God's saying, stop trying to get the whole kit and caboodle, just do it one day at a time. That's how you get freedom. Freedom is undeserved. Amen. But before you surrender to Christ, we were all hopeless sinners, heading down a path that led to destruction and death. But thanks be to God, you had a road to Damascus experience where a great light shone upon you called the gospel. And the gospel changed the direction you were heading. Now, let me just help you with something. Freedom doesn't look like any one person. I did not give you names at the beginning of this message when I asked those people, what does freedom mean to you? And when I originally sent that message out earlier in the day, I thought it was just to respect their privacy, but it wasn't until the end of the message I feel like God dropped in my spirit. This is why I don't want you saying their name in the message, what freedom means to them is because freedom doesn't care if you're a preacher, if you're a lawyer, if you're a welder, if you're a pop fitter, if you're a millionaire, if you're poor, if you're a doctor, if you're someone homeless, by the answers I gave you tonight, today you couldn't tell me who was who that said what, why. It's because freedom is an experience, and the only face that freedom has is a man called Jesus. It was John who would write, he that the Son is set free. He is free indeed. He said, you got to know, it's not about who said what. It's about the experience they received. For some people, it was freedom from a needle in their arm. From others, it was a life full of depression. For others, it was promiscuous lifestyle. God said, it doesn't matter who you are. Just come all sinners to the cross. It's open for everybody. Anybody can experience this message. Everybody said freedom. That's three of y'all. Everybody said freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom is a rallying cry that there will be freedom in my home, that there will be freedom in my family, that there will be freedom in my marriage. There will be freedom in my... What are you doing, preacher? I'm letting the enemy know. I'm going to break the curse of sin little by little. I've come to free somebody in the Holy Ghost today. You've been trying to pray yourself out of a big situation, and God said, stop doing that. Do it hour by hour, day by day, little by little, moment by moment. That's how you get the victory. That's how you live in freedom. You're an overcomer. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the... I sometimes testify 400 times a day. And I probably ain't lying when I say that. I sometimes testify all the time. I'm free. I'm still coming out of this. I may not be whole, but I'm healed. What are you doing, preacher? I'm putting the adversary on notice, because the day you get silent, the danger of a silent soul is just shutting your mouth. But the more you learn the value of opening your mouth and saying, I'm free. I'm delivered. My babies aren't sitting on the pews yet, but they will be. I feel like I'm about to lose my mind, but I'm getting my mind. What are you doing, preacher? I'm breaking the curse of sin's power. I'm talking to born-again believers who condemnation and guilt and shame has run your mind crazy. And God sent this preacher to tell you it's little by little, day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour. Just keep on walking. Keep on moving. Anybody, you know, during election season, I was a politician once. I ran for school board and I won, praise God. Pretty sure that was my last stint of politics. You ever been in politics, especially during presidential terms or Congress or Senate, whatever, House of Representatives? You get on YouTube, Facebook, all you see is that stupid name. Over and over. Vote for this person. Vote for them. And it seems like it's coming out my ears by the time Election Day gets here. Anybody know why they put their name in front of your face? You talk to them, okay? Anybody know why? Huh? Remember my name when you... So they'll spend hundreds of thousands, and crazy politicians, sorry, and these people who support these guys spend millions upon millions upon millions of dollars trying to get their candidate in office to achieve what they want achieved, and they do it by steadily putting their name in your face. And some of you, it's been so long since you put the name of Jesus in the face of the problem that's trying to run you crazy. You put the name there on Sunday and you disappear for 6 days, and by the time you get back next Sunday, your brains have been beat in, and the Lord said, I wish to God you would flood hell with Jesus, 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 freedom, freedom. What are you doing, preacher? I'm breaking the curse off of my family. I'm breaking the curse off of my mind. Now, that may sound crazy until I give you a guy you can all relate with. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Tiger? What's his last name, church? Who? Everybody knows his name. And I preached a message years ago on this, and it messed me up when I studied the life of Tiger Woods, and more importantly, I studied the life of his dad. And how his father, at 2 years old, set Tiger in a high chair for 2.5-3 hours a day and made him watch him hit golf balls. And now Tiger, at 8 and 9 years old, would stand in front of a mirror with his club, and behind him had a tape of subliminal message that said, you're great, nobody's better than you. And it's down the golf course, many days would take bottles of rocks and beans. And when Tiger would go to swing, he'd shake the rocks, he'd shake the beans, just trying to get in his head. Just trying to make him think, Tiger, there's going to come a day on the course when someone's going to sneeze, someone's going to cough, and I want to make sure you're ready for anything. Everybody said Tiger. Tiger is great because Tiger spoke it so much over his life that when he got there, he rose to prominence in the world. You didn't see that about Tiger. We got people sitting on pews today. I know for a fact you're only here because you spoke it enough. You spoke enough victory over your family, over your life. And the only reason you're sitting here today is because Jesus brought you here. And you know, if the church really knew your story, if the church really knew what you've been through and all the hell you had to face to get here, they'd think a whole lot different about you. But guess what? Don't worry about that. My God knows the sacrifice. He knows every tear you cried, every step you took to make it to the house of God. Tiger's great because Tiger spoke it over himself over and over and over until he believed his own message. Now, I don't want to get into self-will power here. There's lots of things we're fighting. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, is an empowerment. It gives us power to be able to be witnesses, but more than witnesses, it gives us power to defeat the adversary, to defeat the old yoke of slavery. But one thing the Holy Ghost will not make you do, it will not make you get up tomorrow and pray. You see how quiet it gets when you talk about stuff like that? The Holy Ghost will not make you get your hide to church on Wednesday night. Well, glory. And we got, hear me, I'm going to dig. I want Sister Callan, where you at, or someone, help me out at the piano, okay? Give them some hope. But you hear what I'm telling you. There's people, I'm going to go back to Tiger. We'll finish with Tiger in a few minutes. There's people who live their life from Sunday to Sunday. And Monday through Friday, they get their brains, I'm telling you, beat out. There's no prayer. There's no word. There's no dedication. There's no consistency. And by the time they get back on Sunday, they feel like I'm trapped again. I'm enslaved again. I feel like I can't break free again. And the Lord said, it's not some great math equation that you have to learn. It's not you have to learn 75 verses, pray 3 hours a day. It's just get up tomorrow and say, I'm going to pray 15 minutes today. Well, that's too simple. It's supposed to be simple. Had a preacher years ago wreck my world when he told me, we always hear it preached, it's so easy to be lost. He said, that's true, son, but it's also just as easy to be saved. God's not looking for a reason to send you to hell, folks. He's doing everything he can to give you every moment you can to make it through the gates. How do I live freedom from sin's power over my life? Paul addresses this question as to why we, you and I, he's talking to believers, should not continue to live in sin once God has declared us righteous. Paul had recently taught and declared that we are no longer under the law of Moses and that God's grace will always increase to cover our sinfulness. And by them and us knowing that nothing can ever again ensnare us from the Old Testament law, that grace is what covers us. It's right for us to say, well, then, what is grace? What does grace cover? What is Paul speaking about? And Paul says, I want you to know something here in verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, verse 2, for we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know, just stay with me, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. What is he talking about there? Anyone know? He's talking about repentance. Anyone who has died to sin has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Listen to verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin. Everybody said it's a choice. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but hear me right now. The Holy Ghost is the enabler for you to overcome. I want to repeat it again, but he will not make you overcome if you don't want to overcome. Paul said, I'm telling you, you better not offer yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. He said, you're slaves to righteousness. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. I don't have time. You study it out. The pattern of teaching that Paul is talking about there is obedience to the gospel message of repentance, of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Paul said, when you received that, he broke the curse. I'm going to repeat it again in case you missed it. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. He said, don't be drunk with wine that causes debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The Greek for filled, it's not talking about being filled in a glass. It's talking about be fully controlled by it. That's why it's possible to have the Holy Ghost and still live a life of sin every other day. Because you don't let it have full control over your life. He convicts and you say, I don't want that. He deals and you say, that's not for me. He sends a preacher and you say, not today. He sends his word. Again, his word. Study scripture. It says it will not return void. What's that mean? It will go and do, and it will report back to heaven what the hearer heard and did with the word. It's going to accomplish what it was sent to do, but it's up to the recipient to obey it. We got people, hear me, I'm going to close. I know it's a little different for a close, and I'm going to end. If you never had the Holy Ghost, God can fill you. But you hear me, born again apostolic believers. We got people who sit on pews, I've been guilty, who came to church, went through the motions, did my thing, shouted, oh, I love Jesus, felt chill bumps, oh, I think I'm saved. And God said, the problem with you is you can be saved by feeling, you cannot be saved by just feeling me. The only way you're saved is by full obedience to my word. You've got to be filled with the Spirit, Brad Davis. You got to be fully controlled by the Spirit, Brad. Stop going around saying, well, I feel him, so I must be right. No, no, no. That's not what makes you right. What makes you right is being submitted to him. But be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18. You've been set free from sin. You become slaves to righteousness. Verse 19. I'm using, Paul said, an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. And here we go. How to get freedom over sin's power. So now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Righteousness, it means a whole lot more than this. But in its little bitty, narrowed down, smallest fragment, it means right living. He said, become slaves to right living. And the more you work at being right with God, the more you work at being submitted to God and His Word, the more you pursue obedience to His Word, this leads to holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is separated unto God for a specific purpose. And you can't get holy if you refuse to live right. I feel it in the house today. I said, you cannot become holy if you refuse to obey the word. You will not become holy if you refuse to live a life that's right before God. You cannot live like a devil on Monday and expect God to come to your rescue and say, you're holy on Tuesday. That's not how it works. When I die, when you die, anybody know how and what we're going to be judged by? Anybody? Judged by the Word of God. I won't be standing there. Pastor Meyer won't be there that day. It's just going to be me and Jesus. And he's going to say, Brad, I sent you the Apostle Paul, and I sent you preacher after preacher. I've oftentimes wondered, I tried figuring it out one time in my short 39 years of living, how many messages have I heard preached? Tens of thousands. I've heard them from, you can do it, do you better get it right, do you better make sure you know, over and over and over. And when I stand before God and try to say, you don't understand, I had to write all of those messages. I try telling you, right living, obedient living to my word is what's going to matter in the end. Not how good you can sing, how good you can preach, how good you can lead, how much you knew, all of these great things. Hear me, friend. Doesn't matter how great your career is. Right living is not talking about just being a good person. Right living is talking about living a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. Let's all stand. I want to tell you, you can't do this by yourself. I understand that. It takes the Holy Ghost enabling you, empowering you to rise above sin. Verse 20 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things you used to do result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap, here it is again, leads to holiness. Does anybody know what holiness leads to? Eternal life. You cannot be holy and be saved. It's a step. It's righteousness, holiness, salvation, safety, saved, eternity. You cannot bypass the process. We call it sanctification in the apostolic church. It's letting God grow you day by day. I want to help believers, and if you're an unbeliever, I want to help you today, all right? If you're a believer, I want to give you encouragement and tell you that you ain't got to have it all together, all right? Amen, God. They ain't got it all together. All God is asking Brad is, Brad, can I count on you at 3 o'clock today? To be consistent. Can I count on seeing you in the morning at about 6:30 for prayer, Brad? Can I count on you tomorrow at 3 when you want to hurt somebody because they said something you didn't like? Can I count on you, Brad, to shut your mouth? Paul said, right living. You ever had someone said, it's so hard to live for God? Would you please, after service, not now, after service, would you please come explain that to me? I'm being very serious. Tell me how it's hard to live for God. I want to give you an answer to that, so you ain't got to come to me. My old pastor, the elder Paul E. Outlaw, said years ago, if you live for God hard, it's easy. If you live for God easy, it's going to be hard. What does that mean? If you're in one day, out the next. If you can't make your mind up and you don't know what to do the next day, and one day you're in, no. It's going to be hard. But if you make up your mind, every day, I'm going to live right. I'm going to do it right on Monday. I'm not worried about Tuesday. Matter of fact, let's get right here. It's 11:19. I'm going to live right the rest of this day. I'm going to live in freedom till I go to bed tonight. And when I wake up for work tomorrow, I'm going to say, Brad Davis, you will live free today, and you will not let sin put a curse on you today because you've been made free in Christ. And my right living, hear me, my right living is going to lead God separating me. And sin, that's a vessel of honor right there. And then one day when they lay me in the ground, prayerfully, he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over just a few things." Let me finish what Paul said and I'll hush up. Verse 20, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death." Verse 22, "But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, that benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life." Verse 23, "For the wages of sin is..." But the gift, it's a gift to you of God. It is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, if you've never experienced power from the curse of sin, the power of sin, you can leave here today with freedom in this house. I'm going to say it as simple as I can. Repentance for every believer. You should repent every day. I repent every day. I encourage you. Repent every day. God, anything in my heart, give me clean hands. Give me a clean heart. Wash my mind. Wash my spirit. God, wash me with your word. That's repentance. Okay? We can all do that. Hear me today. Scripture says you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The water has no power. Ready for this? It's obedience to his word. Man, it's not sprinkled. Man, it's not knocking any other religious organization. And if you've been that way, hear me. That word baptism is baptizo in the Greek, and it means to be fully submerged. And it matters how you're submerged. He said you must be submerged in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the washing away of your sins. Preacher does that, but you have to make up your mind you want to do that. You repent. You say, "God, I see. I got to be baptized in the name." If you don't understand that, please come to me. I'd love to give you a Bible study on the importance of baptism in his name. The titles in Matthew 28, 19, those are just titles. They're not a name. They don't identify who he is. Paul said in Colossians 2, 9, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. It's all in his name. And the Bible says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And anywhere in the scriptures they ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it was always accompanied by speaking in a heavenly language. Speaking in tongues can't be taught to you. It's not some college course you can take. It's the Holy Ghost that enables you and empowers you to speak in that language. The Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues, but it is the evidence that you've received the Holy Ghost. Never experienced that today. It is for you. Amen. I pray today. Sometimes in Pentecost, I've been guilty of this because I was raised in Pentecost. We think if the service isn't at a certain decibel level, we didn't do anything. You may want to read the Bible. It's not about how loud did the preacher scream and give you a headache. It's not about did they sing your favorite song that moved you to tears. You know what it is? It's the Apostle Peter with no great piano playing, no great singing, no preaching, Acts 10.
Come on, that's it. Come on.
He heard there was some people who wanted more of what they had. Than what they had. And the Bible says when Peter, while he yet spake the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Bible said where they were seated, they started speaking in a heavenly language. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. Because those that were there heard it also and said, "Mama, it's not just for us Jews. It's for the folks in Paris. It's for everybody." If you don't have that gift today, I encourage you to come. Repent of your sins. Never been baptized in the name of Jesus, please. It's the will of God for you to be baptized in Jesus' name. God can give you the Holy Ghost anywhere of the day, any time of the day. I've seen it at church. I've I've heard stories of happening in vehicles, people waking up in the middle of the night. I know a man who went to visit his brother in prison while he was sitting on the hillside looking into the prison, eating a sandwich. The Holy Ghost fell on him, and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It can happen anywhere. I've seen them. I've prayed them through the Holy Ghost in halfway houses. I preach over pool tables and smoky rooms and halfway houses. The gospel, not I'm trying to lift me up, just telling you, it works anywhere. It works everywhere. To you believers, I encourage you today, leave here with the mindset of line up on line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's just day to day, God. I receive freedom from the curse of sin. As they begin to sing, lift your hands to heaven today. Jesus, we love you. If you've never experienced the Holy Ghost, I invite you today to come and experience that gift that's for you. It's for your kids. It's for your family. If you're a believer today, I think it'd be great if all believers today, why don't we all come and just ask the Lord, God, help me, God, to live above the curse. I know you broke the curse, but help me, God, day to day, to live above the sin.
I declare freedom for my home.
Over my mind.
I declare freedom for my daughter.
In the name of Jesus.
I declare freedom for my son. I declare what your word has spoken.
No matter.
No matter what I feel or what I see.
Oh, yeah.
I declare every chain is
broken.
You're gonna be free. I declare freedom for my family. I declare freedom for my home. I declare freedom for my daughter. I declare freedom for my son. I declare what your word has spoken. No matter what I feel or what I see, I declare every chain is broken. You're gonna be. I declare what
grab the hand beside you if it's appropriate. Let's lift those hands to heaven together in unity today, God. We move together in faith today, Lord. We move together, God, in faith today in the Spirit, God. We overcome minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. In the name of Jesus. Scripture will be dismissed. Scripture says that a threefold cord, it's not easily broken. If I can get together with my brother, if I can get together with my sister, Bible says confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Now don't confess your faults to a bunch of goofballs who will spread your stuff all over the gram and Facebook. Don't do stuff like that. But find you somebody you can trust. Link up together and say, I'm struggling today. I need God to help me. I need God to give me victory. I'm telling you, you watch how fast the devil leaves, because when light exposes darkness, it has to go. Get somebody in your corner. I love watching. You ever watch any Mike Tyson clips? The greatest boxer of all time. I may get in trouble for saying that, but that's when you and the Lord. Amen. You watch any old Tyson clips? All of them got guys in their corner when the round's over. The guy can be beat to death. And that trainer, that guy who's managing, gets in his face. It says, we got one more round. All we need is one punch, Mike, and you can knock him out.
Right.
And you need people who come beside you and say,
come on.
Brad, you got one more round in you, buddy.
Right. Come on.
Knock him one more time. You can make it. What is that? That's a cord that's not easily broken. We sung the old song, you're my brother. You're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together,
come on,
we're going to work until it comes. You know that song? That's too high for me. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're
walking side by side. Woo! As long as there is love, we will stay.
It's an old school song. Sing that. To expect. We'd love to have you. If not, we look forward to seeing you Wednesday night, Vacation Bible School from 6 to 8:30. Main worship starts at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a great week.